Albuquerque waits to see what changes at Eclipse Aviation will mean for the community. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Aero News Managing Editor Rob Finfrock. Rob is an aviation journalist and lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and as such has been very close to the Eclipse Aviation story. And there are a few aspects of it that we maybe need to round out a little more from what we have been able to present to you in print coverage. And we're here to kind of do that today, including its effect on the local business market in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Rob, thanks for taking some time out today.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Well, let's start out by noticing the difference in the personality of Eclipse Aviation regards the press since the change in management at the top. Vern Rayburn, for whatever other criticisms were leveled at him, would usually have something to say, and sometimes much to the chagrin of the shareholders, about anything that made news, and the new Eclipse style appears to be very much, we'll tell you later.
Well, let's be blunt, Paul. Vern, if nothing else, was the head cheerleader for Eclipse Aviation, and he functioned very effectively in that role for the better part of 10 years. However, after his ouster at AirVenture, very high-profile firing, for lack of a better term, on July 28th, since then, Eclipse has literally locked down the doors and battened down the hatches, not only regarding any information coming out of the company, but also its relationship with the press. Actual information on what Eclipse is doing has been rather hard to come by, and my personal read on it, being within about 15 miles from where the plant is located, I know a lot of these people that are now working behind closed doors. The impression I get isn't so much of we don't want to release information as much as it's we don't know the information that we can release yet, because Eclipse is very much in a transitional state right now. And in all honesty, it's kind of hard to determine where the parts are going to shake out on that, and it has had a definite impact on the business climate in Albuquerque. Backing up just a little bit, I've lived in Albuquerque for the better part since 1993, with minor excursions to California and then 3 years in Texas. And I first became aware of Eclipse when I was a student pilot back in 2002. I was flying out of the Sunport while Eclipse was conducting flight tests on their initial 500 Echo Alpha, their initial flight test aircraft. I didn't get to see it fly the one time with Williams engines, but I did get to see it fly, and I got to hear it fly more than a couple times when they put the Teledyne buzz bomb engines on it, and that's exactly what they sounded like. For as quiet as the plane is today with the Pratt & Whitney Canada turbofans on it, it was that loud with the Teledynes. And it was really neat seeing this little airplane fly. And at the time, I mean, this was years away from when I was involved with ANN, and I actually got to meet a lot of the hires up at Eclipse. But I was very aware of what it represented to Albuquerque. Albuquerque has a decidedly rocky history when it comes to attracting high-profile technology company.
Or turning them away, as in the infamous Microsoft story.
And, you know, we do have a chip on our shoulder with that. It's been 30 years now. Albuquerque is still known as the city that Microsoft left. Now, Albuquerque does have a relatively young but relatively flourishing aerospace industry outside of Eclipse. That's helped out tremendously by the fact that Kirtland Air Force Base is here and Sandia Labs is there. A couple of upstart aviation and aerospace companies, Sandia Aerospace is one. Aspen Avionics is a very noteworthy addition. It's a fairly recent addition to the market. They've only been around for about 3 years now, and they were started by a couple of Aspen was started by a couple former employees at Eclipse. They have a very nice product line for glass panels for general aviation aircraft, glass panel instruments, rather, plug-in instruments. So it wouldn't be completely fair to say that Albuquerque has totally missed the boat on technological companies. However, Eclipse is by far the highest profile company that Albuquerque has been able to lure to the city in easily since the time that Intel bypassed Albuquerque and went north to Rio Rancho. That was a major loss in the early 80s. trying to, you know, Albuquerque city leaders were trying to locate this, at the time, fairly small computer chip manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
They bypassed Albuquerque and went up to Rio Rancho, which was essentially a bedroom community with only about 10,000 residents. It was not even a suburb. It was literally a housing development. And Intel established roots in Rio Rancho, and today Rio Rancho is the second largest city in New Mexico. So clearly Albuquerque wanted to attract a high-profile not necessarily aviation or aerospace, but a high-profile, forward-thinking company. And when Eclipse came knocking in 1998, Albuquerque and the state of New Mexico was more than willing to help them establish a foothold. Many of those leaders that were around government back then are still in positions of power today. Mayor Martin Chavez, the mayor of Albuquerque, is but one example, and he has touted Eclipse during his numerous campaigns for political office around the state. He ran unsuccessfully for governor a few years ago as well. He's back as mayor of Albuquerque today. But he has been a champion for Eclipse Aviation. New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, also former presidential candidate Bill Richardson, was also a very high-profile, outspoken proponent of the company. And today they're not saying very much. And that all ties into the fact that right now, I don't think they really know what to say. They're literally waiting to determine where the cards shake out.
When we come back, Rob, let's talk a little more about what we do know about where the cards are likely to shake out. My guest is Rob Finfrock, ANN's managing editor. We're talking about Eclipse Aviation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Rob Finfrock. We're talking about Eclipse Aviation and the business climate in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now, Rob, you've mentioned that even some of the political leaders that have been longtime supporters of Eclipse Aviation in Albuquerque and in New Mexico don't appear to have much of a handle on what's going on within the company now. Roel Pieper, who is running the company now, the new CEO, has termed this change operational excellence strategy. If there's a little bit of hyperbole in that, I'll forgive him for it, because frankly, it did appear that Eclipse was in need of making an awkward transition from a startup to a production company, and that's always kind of ugly to watch a company go through.
I don't think it's unfair to say, Paul, that Eclipse fell over itself in that transition. The company pulled no punches during its history and again during its development history, and again, Vern was very forward with this, in that he said the only way Eclipse Aviation is going to survive is to immediately transition to a high-volume aircraft production company. And they were talking about production volumes that exceeded even what Boeing is able to crank out of the Renton plant, which, if memory serves, that's the highest volume commercial airliner plant in the world. They produce just under one 737, or they deliver, let's say, just under one 737 every day. At one time, Eclipse was talking about shipping as many as 4 Eclipse 500s out the door. And yes, it's a significantly smaller aircraft, but it, in its original form, was touted as almost as advanced as a much larger modern commercial airliner. These are the days when the Avio avionics system was bandied as a totally integrated avionics system. What is eventually going to result with the Garmin 400 nav panels attached isn't going to quite meet that original goal. It's going to come close, but it's not going to be quite there. But in any event, the 2020 hindsight, 4 planes being delivered every day was an almost completely unrealistic target goal. As a result, they've shipped to date approximately 240 customer aircraft out the door. Most of those have gone into private owners' hands. For the most part, those owners say they absolutely love their aircraft. They love how they fly. They love the efficiency that the small turbofan engines provide. They love being able to fly 1,000 nautical miles at a time, burning less fuel than you would with a King Air.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, though, those planes were huge money losers for Eclipse, and they were huge money losers twofold. Those initial planes were sold at prices anywhere from about $950,000 up to about $1.3 million. I don't know how much it costs Eclipse to produce an Eclipse 500. It is nowhere near $1.3 million. It has to be far higher than that. Not only were they losing money in the production up front, but those planes were also shipped out the door with a long list of IOUs, including FIKI, which the company just recently won certification on.
Mm-hmm.
The earliest Eclipse 500s must undergo a long series of modifications in order to meet flight into non-icing compliance. Anything from the Avio NG upgrade, the extended tip tank upgrade, the options, laboratory or the refreshment center, those options haven't been certified yet, and those options will have to be installed on older aircraft. Not only were these planes going out the door for a lot less money than Eclipse was putting into building them, but there is an even longer bill for conditions and options that the company is going to have to retrofit to these aircraft as part of its original purchase agreement. With that in mind, I have to say, I think Roel Pieper is on the right track as far as going, hey, wait a minute, we're shipping aircraft, but we're digging ourselves further and further into the hole with every airplane, so obviously Eclipse does need to cut back, and that's where we are right now.
Well, we're in a situation now, I think, where someone has said, hey, we can't keep selling these at a loss and making it up in volume, but at the same time, it's got to be a little disconcerting for Eclipse owners to have, little information coming out to expand upon the announcement a couple of weeks ago that the company was going to hold off on any more upgrades.
Well, and we can devote an entire new series to the customer impact of the announcement, but let's talk a little bit about how this is affecting Albuquerque. Last month, it was becoming increasingly evident that Eclipse was going to have to lay off personnel. The company employed close to 2,000 people, the bulk of which were at the 4 production centers located here in Albuquerque between the Sunport facilities and those located off of South Broadway. About 48 hours before Eclipse announced that they were having to lay off 650 workers, the bulk of which are located here in Albuquerque, Mayor Martin Chavez made a comment to the Albuquerque Journal in which he said that he had been told that only about 50 workers would be laid off in Albuquerque. So clearly, there was a disconnect in information receiving the mayor's office versus what the ultimate plan was for Eclipse. Those layoffs came on a Friday. Many workers had to go right to the unemployment office in Albuquerque. All the major networks here covered that news, and it was somewhat interesting to see that the workers that were interviewed by the 3 networks here, almost to a T, all said, yes, this is an awful scenario for me, but I can't argue with why they did it. I knew that this was coming. I knew that they'd have to reduce workforce eventually because we're not delivering the number of aircraft that they've said that we need to in order to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Eclipse has invested heavily in the local jobs creation market, and in turn, the state and the city has invested significantly in Eclipse in order to spur jobs. The plane maker had an agreement with the local community college for I believe it was an 11 or 12 week course on how to perform various manufacturing tasks to assemble the Eclipse 500. Mm-hmm. At the end of that course, you'd get a job at Eclipse if you passed on the assembly line. There were a large number of students in that program on the day that they announced the layoffs. The company split the roughly $300 tuition cost with the student. Those students were out about $150. Some of them were 10 weeks into a 12-week course expecting that at the end of it they'd have jobs. So not only were X number of workers laid off here in Albuquerque affecting the local job market, but there were also untold number of workers in the system that were expecting to go into jobs that now were unavailable. And there hasn't really been anything reported on that here. And I think that's where it's going to be interesting to find where Eclipse goes. How soon are they going to be able to ramp production back up if they do follow that route? Again, we're still not 100% sure. And I hate coming back to this point, but it's appropriate. Really, nobody in Albuquerque really knows right now where Eclipse is going to go. They do have broad support from the government, public support from state and local officials. I spoke a couple weeks ago with a gentleman by the name of Daniel Hiron, who is the public information officer for the Albuquerque Airport System. His authority not only oversees the Sunport, which is where Eclipse is currently located, but he also oversees the Double Eagle II Airport, which is where Eclipse wanted to relocate its facilities in about 3 years out on Albuquerque's west side, mm-hmm. not only because of Eclipse, but as part of a broader effort to spur the aerospace community in Albuquerque. There have been a significant number of upgrades now underway at Double Eagle 2, not the least of which is a new control tower, which is expected to go online before the end of the year. Those plans are still in the works, according to Hiron. And more importantly, he made a point of saying that while he expects Eclipse will survive in the long run and will reestablish itself as a leaner, more productive company, Albuquerque's aerospace future isn't solely dependent on that. Even if Eclipse doesn't move its facilities out to Double Eagle 2 for whatever reason, he says they are still actively luring other companies here. And he expects that one way or another, that will shake out. That is great to hear down the line, but it really doesn't help those workers that had their pink slips handed to them 3 weeks ago. So our long-term future appears good. Eclipse's long-term future, if they can weather this current course, I think Eclipse will come out as a surviving company. It's difficult to believe that a company with 230-odd planes in the field right now would up and fold. Hopefully there's enough built-in momentum there that either Eclipse or an outside company will be able to come in and sustain that program. And again, it's worth noting that the people who do have their planes love them. Yes, there are issues with them. They've had a relatively high number of maintenance squawks on them. Service difficulty report numbers are fairly high. A lot of those come from the day jet numbers out in Florida because they're the highest volume operator of the aircraft at this point. It stands to reason that that company is going to see most of the issues with the airplane. Mm-hmm. And it's also worth noting, and this is going to weigh heavily on the future of the company, one would think, next week there is a congressional hearing before the House Transportation Committee, that's James Oberstar's committee, regarding not only those safety issues, but also complaints that were levied against the FAA, I believe it was in November 2006, shortly after the Eclipse 500 received its final TC from the FAA. That union not only oversees air traffic controllers, but they also represent FAA inspectors. Mm-hmm. And about a dozen FAA inspectors took complaints to the FAA saying that they protested the awarding of a type certificate for the Eclipse 500. They said they had safety concerns. The FAA tossed them aside, so those workers went up the ladder and got Oberstar's attention. It's impossible to note that without also noting the very contemptuous history between the FAA and NATCA. At the same time, it would be much easier to dismiss this as political posturing were it not for the fact that the aircraft has had a relatively high number of issues and a very high-profile incident with the landing incident at Midway back in June where the throttle quadrant wouldn't respond to pilot inputs. Those are issues that will be brought up in next week's hearing, regardless of the fact that Eclipse has already issued fixes for many of these problems. It's going to be interesting to see where that shakes out, and I think that's the next major stepping stone that not only the citizens of Albuquerque, but also the aviation press and the aviation industry as a whole is looking towards to determine what the next step for Eclipse Aviation may be.
When Roel Pieper made the announcement back on August 22nd of the layoffs, the 650 positions being cut throughout the maintenance centers and the manufacturing facilities, apparently the question came up at that point, is Eclipse still committed to Albuquerque? And Roel Pieper said, we have no plans to leave, but then he immediately followed it up by saying, every aspect of the company is under reevaluation. How is the feeling in Albuquerque? Is there any real concern over that happening?
There is significant concern here. No other way to put it. Given that most people know that Eclipse is in a transitional state at this point, also keeping in mind that Roel Pieper is European, he's based out of the Netherlands, and he's already taken steps towards establishing an Eclipse 500 production facility in Russia to serve the European and Asian marketplace. It's impossible to discount any concerns and rumors that the company may relocate. I would argue that it would be extremely short-sighted for the company to up and relocate in the near future for the simple reason that there is already an established production line in Albuquerque that's already building the aircraft, whereas the Russian facility is not expected to come online for about another 12 to 18 months. So as long as Eclipse sticks around, it's going to stick around Albuquerque for at least the next year or two. But after that, I wouldn't be so sure.
Well, Rob, I really appreciate your filling our listeners in on some background on this story, and we'll probably take advantage again in the near future of the fact that you live in Albuquerque.
Well, as much as I can offer, Paul. Thank you very much.
Rob Finfrock is the managing editor of Aero News Network. You can find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. And when you get there, if you use the search function and put in Eclipse Aviation, you can find lots of background on this story. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.